welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus, and I thank you for joining me as we begin a new week broadcasting here on this station, and we're going to continue right on to share the thoughts that the Lord has given and how we can know the will of God. I believe every committed Christian really has a deep desire to know God's will, to be led clearly by the Spirit of God. So before we start to go into the Word together, let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just sense in the Spirit there are many that your Spirit has caused to listen to this broadcast. Lord, I know I have many regular, faithful partners that do make a point in their schedule to listen. But Lord, I sense there are some new people that they need some answers. And Lord, you've brought them so that they can hear the word of the Lord regarding God's will for their lives. Lord, the enemy wants to keep us in confusion. He wants us to be undecided, to be uncertain, to be timid. But Lord, we have the assurance in your word that your sheep know your voice, none other will they follow, that it is your desire to lead us in a plain path because of our enemies. It is your desire that we continue to move into higher ground, into greater experiences in you, into more profound revelation of who you are and how we can communicate the glorious gospel to all that we come in contact with. And sometimes, Lord, it may not even be with words, but by the very testimony of our life, we will be so filled with joy and with peace and with love that they will be drawn to the living Christ. Father, now anoint your word, and may you receive all the praise and honor and glory for it. I thank you for it. Praise God. Well, we, on last week's broadcast, were talking about how we can know the will of God. And I'd like to share some things to help you to be able to conform to God's will for your lives. There are four things I'd like to share. First of all, we must know God's will. And how do we do that? Well, one of the most obvious parameters for understanding what God wants is a knowledge of the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we spend time in it every day and we learn the principles of God and the ways of God. And that Word of God is truth. Remember when Pilate asked, he said, "What is truth?" And we know from the Word of God, "Thy Word, O Lord, is truth." So we need to know the Word of God, and also we need to wait upon the Lord for His particular plan or purpose for our particular lives at the moment, because there are times there might be a specific situation. The general principle is addressed in the Word of God, but we don't have a clear-cut answer, and that's why we must wait on the Holy Spirit to allow Him to lead us. The truth is that none of us have exhausted His will for our lives. Why? Because our knowledge is limited, but thank God it is increasing. And just by way of review, I shared a quote by Billy Joe Doherty, and he says, "When we assume that happiness and problem-free living are the goals we're after, we will never fulfill the Word of God." And, you know, that's kind of a mentality in Christian circles, that if we're really in God's will, we're going to be blessed, we're going to be prosperous. And unfortunately, many have felt condemned and confused because their life is anything but seemingly blessed. However, we know, as we understand the Word of God, He brings us through trials and afflictions so that our faith can be purified as gold tried in the fire. So we have to understand that our comfort is not a guide. Your happiness, my happiness, is not a guide as to whether you or I are in the will of God or not. Look at Paul. What more beautiful or dramatic example? Paul wasn't comfortable in God's will. And yet he said it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so it's not a significant factor in determining the will of God. Most of the time we're not comfortable in what He wants us to do. Doing what God said will cause continual challenges to our faith. And we have to realize that it's not us. We have this power that is in us. The excellency of that power is of God and not of us. We have this treasure in our earthen vessels. It's Jesus. So Paul says he discovered the wonderful truth that when he was weak, then he was strong. And let's look at God's real heart, His will. He is gathering together a family. He's more concerned with a harvest than He is your comfort. Now, I don't want to paint a picture of a God who's uncaring, unfeeling, and doesn't want you happy, because the Word does say He will satiate the soul of His priests with fatness. We shall be abundantly satisfied with the goodness of thine house. But anyone who's ever accomplished something great for God, or even in the natural in this life, does so by staying in a place of challenge. They can't stay in their comfort zone. We have to get past, I want to be happy. Of course, that's our desire. But there's great joy, there's great happiness, really, in fulfilling the will of God. So it doesn't matter what can be going on around you, we will be happy because we know God's truth. And beloved, that's a choice. We can get up in the morning and feel, you know, oh, well, I just, you know, this is, my life's going nowhere. I don't know what God wants. No matter how hard I try, it doesn't get any better. We can stay in that, or we can start meditating on God's truth, declaring and confessing and believing and praying and knowing that God is going to reverse that. Well, I'm going to be sharing about our emotions at some other point in time, but right now we're looking at the will that God has given us. So first of all, we have to know the truth. Secondly, we have to understand how we're made up, understand our will and the forces behind it. Willpower is putting power in the will from your emotions, from your desires. Beloved, emotions aren't our enemy. They're created by interior motives, and there's a strong chain effect rather than just, you know, a single decision of the will. We exercise our will, but behind that is our imagination, what we think on, what we meditate on, whatever you entertain in your mind, that seeks reality. You know, God spoke the worlds into existence, did He not? But it was first in His divine mind. And so it's this, we're created in the image of God. That's why it says we're to bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ, because what goes on in your mind and in my mind determines our outlook, determines our choices, determines on what we do, what we accomplish. So prior to that information that comes into your mind, you know, there's thoughts, there's emotions, there's data. And I can remember some time ago, this, I can't remember the specific details, but I want to share the concept with you, that there were athletes, they were sports trained young sportsmen, and they were, I believe it was basketball, and they had an hour a day of actual practice on the court. And there were those who spent, I don't know if it was that length of time, but they actually spent a significant time each day doing nothing but sitting still and imagining shots, imagining their tactics, the different maneuvers. And they did just as well, if not better, than those who actually physically practice with their body. Isn't that powerful? These are the forces behind the exercising of the will. Do you want to change your will? Well, you have to start with information. You have to understand that your will is not an isolated act by itself. Did you ever try to not think about a certain thing? I know that's frustrating because what do? You end up doing it. That's just what you can't get your mind off of it. So in order to eject a thought, you have to replace it with something else. We have to think about the desires that we want to cultivate. All these things will cultivate the will. If you think about the world, the flesh, you'll end up acting according to that. You know, you might say, well, I'm going to resolve this. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to stop these desires. Well, beloved, you're going to have new data because that's where your thoughts will be going. Let me share Psalm 19 and 14. David prays, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." God wants to redeem our thoughts. Hallelujah. If we have our meditation upon the word of God, then we won't have such a hard time. Praise God. Well, in the time that remains, I'd just like to share a testimony from a sister who has written recently. She says, "Dear Sister Judith, thank you for writing from San Francisco. Thank you for your letters of encouragement. They're so uplifting in the times we live in. As the Lord leads, I share some of your letters with sisters in the Lord who also are uplifted and encouraged to, quote, pick up that cross, deny ourselves, and follow Him." She's preaching. This is good preaching. She says, "This Christian walk we're on is not the 100-yard dash. It seems like a cross-country run, and the end is out there in the distance. There is living water along the way, and that is what you are providing for our journey. The living water is right on the narrow path, not somewhere off course. It's not some well off our course. So thank you for all your efforts to help the runners in this long distance race to finish well. And at the end of the race, we'll all look forward to, well done, my good and faithful servant." I quote the words from the song Mardi Gras CD, "The Love of God." "Soon will be the time when we shall see the Holy One, and oh, how sweet to know that He'll complete the work that He's begun. And blessed is the man who stands forgiven in God's sight, and blessed are they who in that day will hear Him say, 'Well done.'" Praise God. Well, it's been a joy to minister to you today. Please tune in tomorrow. We'll continue right on. The announcer will give you our contact information. God bless you. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,